Yud Aleph 7, 5th of June, Rabbi Dov Ber Cohen, Yisroi, should he stay or should he go?
Fascinating when we get to these parshas already now, starting with Haloischa, and there just seem to be so many episodes, so many fascinating episodes in these parshas. You know, when I'm given a remit to speak on this parsha and take a look at the and see how many episodes are occurring and so many things to discuss and so many things to speak about. So I decided to try and talk about a very fascinating and quite cryptic mini parsha stuck inside Parshas Baal Oiska. We have obviously the beginning, we have the menorah, we have a discussion about how the Am Yisrael would move, how they would go up Yashem, the Anana Kavoid, and then we have of course Vayibin Saharon with the nuns that are upside down. But stuck somewhere before that, we have this cryptic four psukim that discuss a dialogue between Yisroi and Moshe Rabbeinu. And I wanted to just park there and have a look at that incredible dialogue between the two of them and see what we can learn, what we can mine from this dialogue between Yisroi and Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we just finished last week Chag Shavuos, and a lot of the themes of Chag Shavuos, which I heard this year many years before, is the theme of Geirus, theme of people coming to Klal Yisrael, joining Klal Yisrael. Of course, we have Megillas Rus, strong impetus of Rus. A lot of what we're learning there from there is the idea of someone coming to join B'nai Yisrael, coming to join the Jewish people. There's Avram, Ben Avram, the Geret Tzedek. There's so many interesting links between the idea of Geirus, and I want to come back to that, Met Hashem, at the end, to discuss that point. But of course, we know that the parsha when Matan Torah happens is, of course, the parsha of Yisroi, it's his name, by Yishma Yisroi. Interesting enough, I heard just recently from the name of the Maharal that we had a Rav visiting, Rav Nissel, explain. The Maharal says, Vayishma Yisroi, Shemia is the place in the body where you have balance. The Ozen is the Lashon Izun, the idea of balance. That Yisroi heard, and when he says he heard, he understood that the balance, when you make a proper balance of life, when you look at all the issues and all the challenges of life, the proper balance is the way of the Torah. And therefore, a balanced decision is a balanced decision is to join and to become part of this nation. But we still have this very cryptic discussion right now in this week's parsha, whereby Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Yisroi, like I said, just before the parsha of Vayibin Saharon. And this is Perek Yud, Pasuk Chavteis. ויום משה לחויביו בן רואל המדיוני, חסר משה, נויסים אנחנו אל המקום אשר אמר השם אויסוי, איתן לכם, לך איתנו והיטבנו לך, כי השם דיבר טוב על ישראל. So, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming now to Yisrael. Now, there's interesting discussion, maybe not for now, as to why he's called Choyvav here. Why is it Choyvav? Is Ruel? Which one is it? It's maybe not to go into detail now, but according to everyone, this is Yisrael. So Moshe turns to Yisrael, his father-in-law, and says, Noisim Anachnu, we're going now. And of course, at this stage, they were just about to enter the land, a couple of days away from entering Eretz Yisrael. And he turns to his father and says, come with us. Don't stay, don't go back. Just come with us into the land. Of course, so the first question we have to tackle is, why would there even be a Havamina that Yisro would even go back if he's come, if he is somehow converted, if he's somehow joined the Jewish people, he's put his lot in with Christ, so why would he even think about going back to Midian? What would even be the Havamina? So that's one question we could ask. So next he says to him, come with us into the land, L'chaitanu ve'heitavnu lach, and it will be good for you, we'll do good for you. So what is this good that they will be able to do for Yisroel? This is another question. What's the specific good that they're going to do for him? Ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. Hashem has spoken good of Israel, i.e. there's going to be bounty, there's going to be good things happening. And we will do good for you as well, Yisroel. If you come with us into the land, it will be good for you. So we see that you know, Moshe is now taking the initiative. He's come to his father and say, "We're going to the land. Come with us." Question number one: why would he even not come? Why would he go back? And number two: what's this good that's going to be left? Now, of course, there are a lot of discussions, and again, maybe not now is now the place to be marachin to all discussions to when this event took place. I want to go just in the sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban has his sheet is that Moshe that Yisrael came to Moshe before Matan Torah, and then he went back, and then he came back again. So he went back, and he was went back to Midian. He got the family, and he was he converted the people in Midian. And then it says he comes back to be with Klal Yisrael. So at this point, according to the Ramban, he's gone home already. He's gone back to Midian, and now he's come back to be with the Jewish people. So this only exacerbates the question, according to the Sheet of the Ramban, why then, if he's already gone back home, he's already taken the family, he's already converted the people there in Midian, why would he then come back to Klal Yisrael to go back again to Midian? Why would he go backwards to go forwards to go backwards? He's already gone back home, he's come back again. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu even feel the need to come up to him and say to him, "Stay with us"? What's even the Havamina to go back? So this is a question. Now, it's interesting, to some extent, which makes the question even harder, is that what's Yisrael's response? His response is, "Vayomei love, loylech." I'm not going to go. "Kim el atzi ve'el molalati elech." I'm going to go back to my homeland. I'm going to go back to my birthplace. I'm going. I'm leaving. So this makes it even more strange. If he's already gone back and he's come forward. So why is it now, especially when Moshe Rabbeinu turns and says, "Come with us, it'll be good for you. Well, you know, you have, you know, we're going to see in a second what this means, but it's going to be good for you." Why would he then turn around and say, "I'm going. I'm leaving. I'm going back. I'm heading back home. I'm not staying with you"? Why would he even say that? So it's really fascinating these questions that we have here on the board to try and understand what was Yisrael, what was the Havamin here? What does Yisrael think was going to be happening? And why did he refuse somehow to go at first with the Jewish people into the land? It seems strange. This would be the highlight. This is what you've been waiting for. If you've seen Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole story, you've heard what happened with Amalek, you heard what happened with Yamsuf, you've seen the encampment in the desert, you've seen everything that's been going on. So why on earth now would you say, "I'm going, this is the highlight, you're going into the land, you're going to actually enter and see Klal Yisrael there"? Why would you then go back to Midian and miss the big show, so to speak? Why would you want to miss out on that? So again, so these are the questions that we have here on the board. The question is, of course, why would he even want to go back? And why does he need even persuasion in the first place? It's very interesting, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu says those words to him, "Vehitavnu lach," "It will be good for you. It would be good for you to do this." Again, so we have to understand, what was this good that Moshe Rabbeinu was promising somehow to Yisrael? Maybe by looking at some of the answers, the response to Moshe Rabbeinu, we will then go back and look at the Perush of the Ramban and see exactly what's going on, to really fully understand what's going on here. So Moshe Rabbeinu, after Yisrael says, "I'm not going to come with, I'm going back to Midian," Moshe Rabbeinu says the following, "Vayomer, Al na tazoy v'sam, please don't leave us. Al na, please don't leave us. Ki al kein yadata, chanoseinu b'midbar, v'yisalanu le'inayim." He said, "Surely you know the way we've camped in the desert, you know the encampment, you know the way that we've been moving in the desert, you understand the desert. V'yisalanu le'inayim." Rashi says there, both, it could either be into the past, you were for us like eyes, you help us, you scout out, or it could be even in the future. When we go in, you'll help us scout out, you'll be like eyes for us, you'll see what's going on. "V'haya, ki seylech imanu," and it be when you will go with us, "V'haya hatoiv hahu, asher yeitiv Hashem imanu, v'heitav nolach," and it will be that when we go into the land, the toiv which Hashem will give to us, "V'heitav nolach," will give to you. So again, the question which is bolet, which is sticking out here very much, is that once again Moshe Rabbeinu, he seems to be going down the same line, the same road again. He says, he uses the same word, "Vehitavnulach, it's going to be good for you. Come with us. Okay, you've done good things for us, you've helped us out in the desert, but come with us into land, Vehitavnulach, it will be good for you." Why do we use the same lashon again, "Vehitavnulach"? Maybe you should go a different way, trying to get him to persuade him. He should use some sort of different lashon, but he uses the same lashon again. We see first time, "Vehitavnulach," and again we see the words, "Vehitavnulach," again, it will be good for you. So we seem to have a lot of questions. And then obviously the final question, which really sticks out, is that we don't actually see Yisro's response. We don't see him say yay or nay. Yeah. He doesn't say I'm coming, he doesn't say I'm going. And this leaves us to have the question is whether or not Yisro actually does join. According to the Ramban, which we're going to see, he does come. With the Rashi, he does come. According to the Sofono, he doesn't, he goes back to his land. And there's lots to discuss on this as well. We'll see you a little bit later. So let's go back again. We've got the questions very clear. Why would he not even want to come? What's holding him back? Why isn't he persuaded? What is this toiv that Moshe is promising him? And why is it not good enough? And now, finally again, why does Moshe Rabbeinu use the same Loshon again at the end, saying Beitavim again, which is the same words, it will be good for you? What's changed the second time round compared to the first round? So now we'll go into the way that the Ramban has explained this. And he says the following. He says the Ramban, Beitavim ulach, that v'hu chashav sheisnu lo min hashalal kesef zahar gadim utzom v'akar v'lo tiyeh lo nachala v'sricham. This already we see that what did Yisro think? When Moshe Rabbeinu turns and says, it will be good for you. He thought, here I am. I'm a ger, converted. But I know that I won't be able to get a piece, a parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael. This is a nachla that was given to them through their forefathers, promised their forefathers to them. I won't be able to get a nachla, I won't be able to have a piece of land. So what's this tov they're going to give me? What's the point of going into the land? They'll give me min ashalal, they'll give me from all the things they pick up from all the other nations, the kesef, the zahav, ubegodim, it will be a good material life. I will not want, so to speak, I'll have as much as I need in terms of money, in terms of goods, in terms of clothes. I'll have sheep for tzoin, uvakar, v'lo tiyeh lo nachala b'sochem, but I won't have a nachala, I won't have my own piece of land that I can say belongs to me. And therefore, that's why he didn't want to go. He wasn't interested. Why? He says, I'm just going back to my own house. I've got my home there in Midian. I've got a nice big house. I have there a house. I have my land. I have kavod. I'm not wanting in any kavod. But everything I need. Don't try and buy me over with material wealth, material goods. It's not any interest whatsoever to me. If I'm going to come, I need to be part of the land. I have to have a piece of land. I have to be like you and have a piece of land. Otherwise, if I'm not going to have some of this land of Eretz Israel, then I might as well go back to where I came from originally. So now it's interesting. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu, in his answer, we're going to glean from the answer, according to this, the Perush of the Ramban, we're going to glean from this just how it works that why Yisrael didn't want to go into the land. It seems to be bechinam, just getting free gifts. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu turns back and says, Al na tazov itanu, please don't leave us. Ki midascha ham midbar tielon leinai. Because, says Moshe Rabbeinu, because you know the way of the desert, you'll be like the inayim for us. You'll be like the way you'll be able to see for us. The kibush ha'artzos, in the way that we conquer the land. And you'll be able to lead for us the way. The way we'll go. So first of all, seems to be the Moshe Rabbeinu is coming in attack saying, number one, just know that anything that you get from us, it won't be bechinah. It won't be a free gift. So you already see that Yisro is someone who's someone who doesn't just get a freebie. The fact that he came and joined the Jewish people, he was Megayesh Koyach, but it doesn't mean that he should naturally get a bank account with regular income. He has to earn it. So Moshe Rabbeinu's first thing he turns to him says, you'll earn it. You're going to be there with us. You're going to show us what to do. We're going to need you. We need you as part of the plan. It's interesting that Rav Shimshon before Hirsch on this says that you see very clearly the extent that Moshe Rabbeinu needed his father-in-law. It was chaser without his father-in-law. His father-in-law had come when they were in the desert. He'd come and show him how to set up the courts of law, how to set up the courts, the system of Dayanim. He had this organizational skills that was somehow chaser in Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe needed his father-in-law to be. This says inside, Rav Shimshon Bar Hirsch says that if I didn't say it myself, I wouldn't have said it here, but he says it himself that Moshe needed somehow the advice of Yisro. That's what he says. So then, that's number one. So he's saying to him that it would be we need to have you with us. and it won't be bechina, won't be for free. Also, it'll be fast, but inayim, you will show us the way. So that's one thing. He's telling him it won't be a free gift. Next, mikol atoivahu asheitav Hashem lanu neitiv lacha. All the goods that we're going to have, all the goods that we were receiving, we will be giving. We will give from that good to you. What does he mean by this? Ramaz latzes lo achuza ba'aretz toiva b'scharoi al tirchoi va'azaratoi sheyazem b'kuvish aretz. We're going to give you a parcel of land because of the way you help us to conquer land. You will get a beautiful piece because of the way you've helped us. Just to leave the Ramban aside, just for a short while, just to go. The Ksav Sofer says on this, interesting enough, he brings down this point. Says that if you look very carefully, it's not the same words that Moshe says to Yisrael. The first time when he says to him, he says, Vehitav Nulach, it'll be good for you. Okay, it'll be good for you. But the second time when he uses the words Vehitav Nulach, you see the change where he says, Vayona al Natazov Itanu, Yalkenia Data Chalosem Bamidba, Vaitan Aleinaim, Vayaki Telech Imanu, Vayaha Toiv Hahu, Asha Yetiv Hashem Imanu, Vehitav Nulach. The Tov that we get from Hashem, from that Tov somehow you will also be receiving. So Sofer says on this, you see, that Yisrael could turn around, he turns around and says, look, okay, maybe I will earn it, maybe I myself, it could well be that I will earn somehow by helping you out, by helping you settle in, showing you the way, getting you in there, and I will earn it. What about my children? They won't have earned it themselves. So they'll be there, b'chinam, and we don't want any free gifts. So Ksav Sofer says that Moshe Rabbeinu's answer is saying, no. So in the same way that we see the land in the Sus Avois, and it's as we know that if we don't behave, we can be kicked out of the land, that we only have this really because of the promise given to our forefathers. So too, just as there will be a Sus Avois, so we receive the land for them, so too your children will have the land Biskusa. The same way that we have a Biskusa, so your children will have somehow a Sus Avois. They will also be able to hold on to the land because of you, and the way that you were good to us, and the way you brought us into the land. So we see here that what's coming out from here very clearly is Yisro is someone who is refusing to just go into the land and just be there. Bechinam, number one, he needs to earn it. He needs to be able to say that he's there for a purpose, that he got there for a purpose. And secondly, we see that he wants to have a nachala. He wants to be able to actually have his own parcel of land that belongs to him. And on this is why we see that Ramban says at the end, he finishes by saying that we know that actually he says, Val Dasi, ki nisratza alav, that actually Yisroi at the end, he agreed and he said he would go with them. And we know this, it says that, again, there are many references, say V'shoftim, in Melachim, in Divrei Yomim, of their descendants of Yisroi who are in the land. Rashi explains that they got the parcel of land in Yerichoi, a big, very beautiful parcel of land in the area of Yerichoi, which belonged to the sons of the Keni, the sons of Yisroi, that they took over that parcel of land. They went into the land and they took over it. Yohanadav ben Rechav, the Rechabites, it's some sort of people called the Rechabites. It's very interesting. Again, Rav Shirshur Farhash mentions that in his writing in the late 1800s, he writes there that there was an English missionary called Dr. Wolf, who in 1828 went into the land of Arabia, it says into the land of Mecca, around there, and it says that he found people there called Bnei Rechavim, which he calls the Rechavites, that they made their claim that they came from Yisroi all the way back. And he says these people lived in Arabia and in Mecca, yet they spoke Hebrew, and they kept a Torah Shvichtav. They had, even though they were living a nomadic life, they kept connection somehow, that they went back all the way back to Yisroi and to the Bnei Rechavim. So again, so just to summarize just this point again, what was the problem? Why did he not want to go into the land? Why was he refusing? He didn't want a free gift. What does Moshe Rabbeinu answer him, saying, you will not have free gift, you will earn it. And not just that, but you'll have a nachala, you'll have your own parcel of land, you'll be there. It will be yours. And we see that's why when his children could come to the Beis HaMikdash, and there's the vidui that we say would be in the Bikurim, they were able to say that they were zoichah to have the land. They were able to say the vidui because they earned it, they were part of it. But just to get to that last point, it says, Vayalan le'inayim, it will be like us to eyes. So again, the Pasha Shah seems to be like that. You'll be like scouts somehow, you'll see forward, you'll see what's going on. You'll be able to tell us, you know the Midbar, you know the deserts, you're from here, you can tell us what's going on. So I saw a very nice shout in the name of Hillel Zaks. It says the following. This is when it says Vayalan le'inayim, it's actually telling us something about the role of the Ger in Klal Yisrael. He says, Rav Hillel Zaks says, that you see that, you know, Klal Yisrael, they had all the nisim and flas, they had the man, they had the anei kavod, they had all these incredible things that were happening the whole time for them. But as we all know, complacency kicks in, and one can take for granted all this goodness that we receive from Hashem, and really not be able to recognize it, because if it happens every single day, day in, day out, the person is unable to see and to recognize and to give proper thanks and recognition to Hashem for everything he's got. It happens very often. I'll often ask people in my role as teaching, I'll say to people, you know, what were the three most amazing things that happened to you today? And I'll get them to sit and think about it. You know, 2 minutes to think, what were the three most amazing things that happened to you today? And they'll come back and say, most times they'll say, can't think of anything. Seriously, I did this exercise quite recently. Wow. I sat there and I said, give me three of the most amazing things that happened to you today. I'll give you a few minutes to think about it, sit, discuss, what are the three most amazing things that happened to you today? And they'll just say, I can't think of anything specific, Rabbi. It was, you know, it was sunny in England. That was an amazing thing. But I can't think of anything specific, Rabbi. And then I'll go through them and I'll talk to them about them, this and the flask, about how their body works and how their brain works and their eyes work. And everything around them and nature and I said, do you see how amazing it is? And they'll stop and say, now tell me five things that are amazing. And they'll give me 25 things. Because when they open their eyes and see how everything is innate, everything's given to us. So it says of Hillel Zaks, Vahayu lanu le'inayim, is really, it's the ger, the ger tzedek of Yisrael. Vahayu lanu le'inayim is, he's there for the eyes, that every time the man is falling, or there's the anei kavod, or there's the kibush ha'aretz, or the nisim, the flas and the kibush ha'aretz, he is there to turn around and say, you see what's happening, never be complacent. I didn't grow up like this, I didn't have this, I've come and this is fresh and this is new. Never ever be complacent. You know, they say that the Yid HaKadosh Meir Pshiska, one of the reasons why they called him the Yid HaKadosh is because he took it upon himself that every single day would be like a ger, he would come to his Yiddishkeit like a ger with brand new eyes. To see how incredible it is, the Torah Kedosha, the connection with the mitzvahs, connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it should be brand new and fresh. Everything should be so clear, like the first day you saw it, the first day it happened to you. And that's why they call him Yid HaKadosh, because every day he became a Yid from brand new. So, see, again, Hillel Zaks is a beautiful way of understanding this last part, that the Einayim is really seeing things from brand new. But again, just to summarize, seeing that why did Yisrael want to go back? He didn't want a free gift. He wanted a parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu originally says, Ve'heitav nulach. He does, I don't want Ve'heitav nulach. I don't want Shalal, I don't want Kesev, I don't want Zav, I don't want Begadim, I don't want anything like that. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns out and says, no, Vayah, it will be that the Tov that we get, you will also get in a similar way. We're going to give you a piece of land, and just like we get the piece of land of B'skus Avos, your children will have a B'skuscha, and you will be in the land. Finally, so this part of the Einayim, you see things like brand new. I want to just finish with just, again, we came just now from Shavuos, and I think this theme, I think, really runs very strongly, the idea of the Ger Tzedek, I just spoke to a good friend of mine, Yushalayim, who told me he saw in Sefer the name of Rav Matisya Solomon, that the greatest title a person can have in Klal Yisrael is the name Ger Tzedek. It's the greatest name a person can have, he says, is the name Ger Tzedek. I wanted to share with you, just finishing now, just on this topic, as like I said, we leave Shavuos, we should take the hashpas of receiving the Torah anew, like a ger, we should come to with the frishkeit. I wanted to share with you just some words from the Piyazetz and the Rebbe Zatzal, who I first heard these words a couple of years ago, and I have to say, I think about them often. Alavai that I should live up to these words, but these are words that I think about very often. The Piezet, the Rebbe, many of us are aware, he was murdered by the Nazis, Shem Yikom Duma, that he wrote in the Sefer Tzava Zeros on his 40th birthday, he was approaching his 40th birthday, and he said he's looking now at his 40th birthday, doing a cheshbon nefesh about where he wants to go, who he wants to be, in every level. And he says there, again, this will not do justice, one has to see inside what he says. I just want to share these last few minutes of what he says, but it's so powerful, and it's a big fear of all of us. He says, what am I going to take for myself? He says, I'm turning 40 years old, and I want to take on Kabbalah, so I want to do something, I want to take on things for my life. What should I take on for myself? So he's very honest, he says, he said, should I learn more? And there he says, he doesn't have one second he's not learning Torah. He's not bottled one second. He wasn't lying. It wasn't like he was saying Zikr. He wasn't lying. He said, I'm not bottling. So to learn more, I'm always learning. He says, Lishakak min ha-taivus. He says, should I go away from the taivus of the gashmis? He says, Baruch Hashem. He says, I'm not meshubad into those things. Again, he wasn't lying. He says, Uma chaser li. He says, what was it? What's chaser li? What's missing from me? He says, Pashut v'yos yudi. Mamsh to be a yid. He says, I want to just be a Jew. I want to be a real Jew. That's all I crave to be. He says at the end, Pashut roitze ani me'ata lehizgaya. Those are the words. It says, Pashut roitze ani me'ata lehizgaya. All I want to do is I want to lehizgaya. I want to convert to leyois me'ata Yehudi and be from now from be a yid. He's turning his 40th birthday. He says, that's all I crave, is to come with the newness, with the freshness, to have that sense of connection with Baruch Hashem, which is brand new. So again, so these four psukim in Parashas Va'aloista, it's a cryptic four psukim. Again, it's left with an open end, is whether for the Pasha Peshat, the Mikra, whether he stays or whether he goes. One thing is clear, it seems to be, the Yisrael is someone who's a Sonim Matanos. He wants to earn it, and he wants a piece of land, and he wants to be connected, and he will be, for us, Leinayim, is someone, and we should to show us constantly the connection with Hashem, and so too we should, Met Hashem, have that sense of Frischkeit, the newness and connection with Hashem at all times. I don't know if I'll face a massive guy, I can turn the other.